Okay. So, yeah, 2.5 years ago it was actually that I was at a conference organized by Jim, a student conference about sustainability between Europe and the US with some American students, some European students. And I had just finished my studies and I was looking for a job and I was kind of in a, you know, one of these moments in life. And Polly Higgins came to present there. So Polly Higgins is a lawyer that has picked up the Ecocide proposal and has contacted the International Law Commission in 2010 to propose them an amendment of the Rome Statute to make Ecocide the crime against peace that was left out in the 1990s. And as she was presenting Ecocide, she's a very inspiring speaker and a very visionary person. And when I was listening to her, I was immediately convinced. I just thought, okay, this is the solution I was looking for, because it just felt like it was a law not only to stop the destruction of the ecosystems and of our home, our planet, our Earth, but also to hold those who are responsible to account. And this was very important for me, this element, because my background is social justice and public policy and all of that. And I just feel that the most integral element of democracy is accountability. So if you don't have accountability, democracy cannot work. So that's why that's the aspect of the law that really also convinced me, because it's very important that we can ensure accountability by corporates, by individuals, by heads of states, and by all those responsible for their behavior. So after Polly finished her speech, we had a little breakout session and we had some brainstorming about what young people could do to help further the cause of the law of ecocide. And I just suggested to do the European Citizens Initiative because I knew the tool and I just said it. So basically, for those of you who might still not know, the European Citizens Initiative just is a tool whereby 1 million EU citizens can ask the European Commission to consider a certain legislative proposal. And then the Commission has to consider it, so it has to adopt a written response in which it outlines the reasons for acting or not acting. So really, there is a requirement for them to respond. So it's a very strong agenda-setting tool in a way. So I suggested the European Citizens Initiative, and people were very excited, and Polly was very excited, very convinced. She said, "Oh, we have to do this, we have to do this." Okay, said and done. So we started to recruiting a team, and in the beginning, I really just started asking around in my friends and people that I knew had done projects before in that area that I knew are interested in these topics. So we started building the team a bit bigger, and then we made an open call on Facebook, on Polly's Facebook. We found more people to join. And then we had our first team meeting in August 2012 in London. Very small. We were 10, I think, no? 10, quite a small team back then. And we started working on the strategy, and we were very enthusiastic. We thought, "Oh, 1 million, it's only 0.2% of the EU population, so it should be very easy to." You know, and I still think it's a very small proportion of the EU population, but it wasn't so easy. So as time passed by, we realized like all the challenges we had to face, for example, the amount of bureaucracy involved. And because we were a real citizens initiative, we didn't have any NGO behind, any organization behind, you suddenly face problems like you can't open a bank account, you can't sign papers, you can't do anything without a legal kind of entity. We faced a lot of challenges with the online collection system. We had to build a huge system. We had to assume responsibility in case of data theft and all these kind of things. But we did it. So I will just tell you a little bit about the journey, and then I will speak about a few of the successes, a few of the challenges, and finish with an outlook in a way. So the official launch of our ECI was in January 2013. And at that moment, we had support from three MEPs, one from Germany, one from France, and one from the UK, and also from different parties, which was quite important for us always, because we never wanted to be affiliated to any political party. Like, we are not affiliated to any party, we are not affiliated to any organization. This was key core of our identity in the beginning. And we really consciously chose not to become an NGO because we wanted to be a citizens' movement, a citizens' initiative. So After the launch, the team grew and grew, and we organized a huge amount of activities throughout Europe, and in a moment I will show you some impressions from that as well. And we have achieved a lot on different levels. For example, on the political level, we have support of different MEPs across parties, some even in the Amazon. We had a resolution by the European Green Party, actually, that they support the initiative. We had discussions in the Italian Parliament. We had Green parties in other countries like the UK and Germany that actually discussed this internally at their events, at their assembly. And the Green Party in England even made it kind of a party policy. And in terms of awareness, also we managed to make the concept much more known. I was very happy a few weeks ago when I saw in a German newspaper, a big newspaper, it was discussing the concept of ecocide. They didn't mention our initiative or anything, but the fact that it, you know, it, the word itself has been picked up, because in a way we translated the initiative in all the 23 languages of the European Union. So in, I think in quite a few of them we actually created a new word. So yeah, the concept has become much more known. We've had coverage in, one of the things we really learned is that what is key is to get the big media. And in a few countries, we had quite some successes, like in Estonia, like in France. And Estonia is actually, in terms of the percentage of signatures towards the population, the best country. And we had numerous conferences, flash mobs, demonstrations. And we have also achieved the support of quite some personalities, like Vivienne Westwood, like Vandana Shiva, Kumi Naidoo, or Nimmo Bassi. And, of course, also of all of the speakers and experts here today and many others. And we have created a big, quite a big network of volunteers and supporters and a team, many of whom you have met today. And what is, as I said before, what is really important for us is this grassroots idea. So we really, we are a grassroots initiative. We are always evolving, we are growing, blossoming. And yeah, it was a conscious decision not to be an NGO, but at the same time, this also poses a lot of challenges. For example, there are actually very few, only four of us that were there from the beginning till now. So the team has changed a lot, which is normal because everybody is only volunteering and you have other things in life that come up. And we had a lack of resources to run a professional marketing campaign or anything like that, which in the end is really what is needed in order to get our 1 million signatures, especially if you look at the ECIs that didn't manage to get so many signatures. They had huge organizations behind. And but tomorrow we will discuss in much more detail the challenges of volunteer new flat ECIs, so I will leave it here for the time being. But what is really the very important thing for me personally, and I think for many of us, is that we have actually shown what you can do without resources when you really believe in something. And this is something very inspiring. As the citizens of the European Union, we are very privileged because we have a tool. We have talked a lot about access to justice today. Okay, this is not, it's different. It's not the same as access to justice. But we have a tool to make our voice heard. We have a tool to put things on the agenda of the European Union with the European Citizens Initiative. And active participation really is the key to make a democracy work. And when I look in particular at my generation, I feel very often that the connection with the politics is lost. And people don't go to vote, they don't care. I mean, it's not that they don't care, they care a lot, but they complain and they don't act. Or if they act, maybe sometimes they act in a violent way or they act in a way that is not very constructive. But what we really wanted to do, we found a solution. We found this idea of the law of ecocide and we wanted to act on it and we wanted to show why it's important, and we wanted to convince others, and we wanted to reach out to every citizen of the European Union, really, and tell them, look, if you're not happy with what is happening at the moment, if you're not happy with the current policies, you have a tool here, and just, you know, show what you want and sign. And the European Union is built on this idea of peace, and I think it's very important to remember that, because sometimes, especially in our generation, I mean, we can't even remember the, you know, the fall of the wall or anything like that, so for us it's something that we take for granted, but as we heard today, also a few examples, maybe we cannot take it that much for granted. And other ideas like collaboration, to be united in diversity, and especially the human rights and the democracy aspect. And all of these ideas were really relevant for us. So that's why we felt that the tool of the European Citizens Initiative is a very good tool to promote the cause of ecocide, of ending ecocide. So I think if we look back at the past 2.5 years, we really did manage to a certain extent, of course. I mean, can always do better. We have brought together people from different cultures, from different countries, ages, backgrounds. But most importantly, I think as Valerie mentioned, we have tried to build a bridge between experts, between scientists, between organizations and civil society and citizens. And we have tried to really involve ourselves with the resources that we have and with beliefs in this. And what's quite shocking for me is to see like how much expertise is actually out there. Like, I mean, everything is known. Like, so many people. We did some research now on the history of the concept of ecocide, the amount of scholars that have worked on it, the amount of people that have, you know, established the basis. It's impressive. But it gets published as a paper and it stays there. So what we really want to do is we want to kind of take that and unite the people and really think about how the citizens and how the awareness rising could support this idea of the law and how to get it implemented. And I've read once about some social research about when change will happen, and it will happen when about 10% of each kind of class or each group of profession, each subsection of society in a way, when 10% of them, they all have heard about it or convinced of it and support it. So this is really what we need to try to do. We need to go out of this environmental movement. And that's why actually in our initiative, many of us were actually not so much environmentalists, because I think, especially for my generation, it's not about the environment anymore. It's really about the basis of our life. So, to conclude, basically, I think the only way that we can implement the law of ecocide is with a sound legal proposal, political will, and a vibrant society, because the politicians will only act when we demand the change. And we are very proud to speak on behalf of over 175,000 EU citizens that actually went through the process on the website and provided all their data, their passport number, to support this initiative. And these votes are not lost, because we are going to take them to the European Parliament next year to be discussed as a petition. And this is a huge success given the resources and what we had. So I can't really thank everybody individually, but I want to use this opportunity to say a thank you to all of everyone here, and especially to the team. And it was one of the most inspiring group of people, really the most inspiring that I have worked with, even if I have done many projects before. But it's unbelievable how we manage to keep up the motivation, even if we don't see each other. We are all the time on Skype, the technology breaks down, but still, somehow we manage, because we all are united in our belief that we need to act fast and radically, and we believe that the change is possible, and we want to focus on the solutions. And most importantly, we believe in the need to act for what we want. And this is really what united all of us. And now, before I finish, I want to give a little present, because there's one person in the team who cannot be here today. It's Hila, and she's also a member of the steering group. But most importantly, she has done a little gift for everybody here. So let's have a look.
Yeah, it's just totally magic what happened. Look at today. I don't know how we managed to be there with nothing, just our time. No money, no political support, no NGOs, just the heart. And it's a big hope for the humankind to see that people can join and work all together for the future generations. So as Prisca explained, we run this ECI for a year and a half, 2 years if we consider the first time we met. And of course, as you can see, all the energy we put in, we didn't want to stop there, you know. We wanted to go further. And a French MEP, who is a former Ministry of the Environment in France, Corinne Lepage, contacted me just 2 months before the end of the ECI and told me, we are very impressed about what you are doing, and it gives me some energy to contact other organizations, and not only NGOs, but also, for example, a new association, which is an association of the former ministries of the environment and international leaders on the environment, or, for example, the Association of the Prosecutors for the Environment in Europe. So she had the idea to join experts, politics, citizens, and NGOs, and we started hand in hand to draft a global call, which is called the Charter of Brussels. And we launched the charter at the European Parliament at the end of January 2014. And I'm inviting Dr. Alami to join me. He's the president of the Environment and Sustainable Development Party in Morocco. He has been minister of the environment in his country and of the health. He is the vice president of the Association of Former Ministries of the Environment and International Leaders for the Environment, and he is a founding member of the Charter of Brussels, which called for the setting up of an international criminal justice for the environment and health through 3 steps. It's a roadmap. And then, after Dr. Hamed Halami's speech, we'll see that as and ecocides on HERS now initiative, we decided that the roadmap is one thing, and we are of course the first initiators and signatories of this Charter of Brussels, which is to be signed by any NGOs in the world now. But we wanted also to contribute to look after solutions. So I will tell you after the presentation of the Charter how we think and how we drafted our strategy to propose a concrete solution.